Hello and welcome to Bible 101. Please enjoy our Bible 101 series as we explore Genesis through Revelation. Also, listen to our roundtable discussions as myself, Greg Ross, and Eric Feeman talk about the major theological discussions of the Bible. Also, enjoy some of our interviews and Apostolic Apologetics series. We thank you so much for listening. Please let us know what you think by emailing BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. And also leave a comment to let us know what you think. Thank you for listening. Hello, and welcome to A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. This is lesson number 7. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to study your word. God, we ask that you would speak to us today to give us understanding and revelation. We pray in Jesus' name. Okay, some very, very brief review. We talked about the Old Testament. We're going through a study of the Old Testament. And we mentioned the fact that there are 5 books of law, 12 books of history. So law goes from Genesis to Deuteronomy. History goes from Joshua to Esther. Poetry goes from Job to Song of Solomon. Prophecy goes from Isaiah all the way through Malachi. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. Best way to remember that is the word old has 3 letters in it. The word testament has 9. Put them together, 39. Covers about 3,600 years of history. So we've been looking at the creation account, which ended with the fall in the garden, Adam and Eve. We mentioned the fact that God gave man authority, but that man failed the test and his sin affected the ground, because the Bible says that it would cause the ground to bring forth thorns and thistles, which would fight against him. And so he was able to bring something forth. But then when Cain killed his brother Abel, the ground would not yield to him, and he was forced to dwell in the land of Nod, which meant wandering, and that it was the east of Eden. So he could see where his parents used to dwell with God, but he could not go in. So I'm covering this very, very quickly. And then the Bible says Adam and Eve had another child whose name was Seth. Men began to call on the name of the Lord in the days of Seth. Seth means substitute, which is a type of Jesus Christ. So we're seeing a lot of types of Jesus Christ throughout the period of the Old Testament. And so then we started talking about Seth's family line. And in the midst of a lot of monotony where it says live, begot, died, we find a child by the name of Enoch who grew into a man that walked with God, and he was translated. He managed to avoid the coming judgment because he was faithful to his God and walked with God. And then after him, there is a child named Methuselah. And if you do the math on that, when Methuselah died, the flood came. Some people have even tied his name back to "when I die, the flood comes." I haven't taken the time to really research that, so maybe that's right, maybe it isn't. But it's an interesting fact if it really is correct. So then we're actually looking now at Genesis chapter number 6. So Noah was born, and the Bible says that Noah walked with God as well. And the Bible says that as he walked with God, God gave him a warning of the coming judgment. And so we're going to read that here. So this is Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So in the midst of all the wickedness, there was one man that found grace in the sight of God. Grace is not just a New Testament concept. It is also an Old Testament concept, because God showed grace unto Noah. God didn't have to do it, but he did it. Verse number 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. Now notice that. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. All right? So make me an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. By the way, a cubit is about 18 inches. So, you know, somewhere around there. So about 18 inches cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. The height of it, 30 cubits. By the way, this was not small. There is a modern day representation of the ark that is, I believe, in the state of Kentucky. You can go down and see it. It's absolutely huge. And so it says, a window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Now, this is kind of funny, because the window was in the top of the ark. Why in the world would God want them to put a window in the top of the ark? Here's the reason God wanted it in the top. He wanted them to look up and not look out. What that means is God didn't want them focusing on the storm around them. He wanted them to look up to him for the salvation. Jesus said that in the end of times, there's going to be signs in the sea, signs in the heavens, signs on the earth. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He said, but when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, don't get focused on the chaos and the judgment around you. Lift up your eyes and look to me. Why? Because he is our salvation. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So you can be saved by looking unto the name of the Lord. It also says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't mean you just say, Lord, and you're automatically saved. But what it does mean is that you can call on him. If you put your faith and your hope and your trust in Jesus, he can save you from the coming destruction. The ark is a type of Jesus Christ, and we're going to prove that here in just a second. Watch. So it says, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So I want you to notice something. The door. Everybody say, the door. Say that to yourself. Let's go to the book of John. So New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's one of the Gospels. Book of John, chapter number 10. John, chapter number 10, and verse number 9. John 10 and 9. Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this will be in red letters. I am the door. Wow. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Further proof of this, let's go to the book of John, chapter 14, and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Guess what? Jesus is the door. So I'm sure Noah was probably sitting back wondering, why does God only want me to put one door on this thing? If I'm supposed to get all the animals through and the elephants and everything else, why only one door? Because Jesus is the door. This is a type and a foreshadowing of Jesus. He is a type of the ark. The door is Jesus. If you want to get on that ark, if you want to get into that place of safety and escape the coming judgment, you've got to go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Notice that word, covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. So he says, I want to establish a covenant with you. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, watch, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now consider this. This is what it goes on to say. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Now Genesis 6 and verse number 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep thee alive, and take unto thee of of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, thus did he. Now, consider the fact that they didn't have any of our modern-day technology. You know, they didn't have our cranes, and they didn't have our levers. They didn't have this and that. They didn't have all of our modern-day tools. They had to do this by hand. How long did it take them? We don't know. It took them a long time. Some people have said, based upon that previous verse, that it could have taken them 120 years. Well, we don't know that for sure, but I do believe it took a long time. But according to 2 Peter 2 and 5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So what that tells us is the whole time he's building that ark, he's preaching about a coming judgment. Hey, God said it's going to rain. God said it's going to rain. You better get your act together. You better focus here. You better listen to what I'm saying. God said it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And I'm sure that they laughed at him and said, oh, listen to that crazy preacher. There's Noah again. In fact, he probably became the town entertainment. You know, oh, let's go listen to Noah preach today. That old crazy preacher, he's still talking about rain. It's never rained. Because the Bible talks about there used to be water that would come up in the earth, and it would cool the earth, and it would water the plants and all of that. But it had not rained. And so I'm sure they're standing back laughing. He's talking about a coming judgment rain. Let's go listen to Noah preach. Listen to that, kids. This guy's crazy. But Noah just kept on preaching, and he kept on building. I'm sure his kids thought he was crazy sometimes. But after they got on that ark, they sure were happy that they listened to their father. So let's keep reading here. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, thus did he. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. God gave him some very specific instructions. So he said, here's the fashion. This is how you're going to make it. Verse 15 of Genesis 6. He said, 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And then in the previous verse, verse 14, he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. God gave him very specific instructions. Now, let's say, what if Noah said, you know what, I'm not going to use gopher wood. I'm going to use a different type of wood. And what if Noah had said, you know what, I'm not going to make three stories. I'm only going to make one story. You know what, it doesn't really make sense to only have one door on this thing. I'm going to put all kinds of doors in it, and I'm not going to, what would have happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. It wouldn't have floated. He had to do it exactly the way God told him to do it. And the Bible says in verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, here's something that's very, very important that I want to point out. It's the simple fact of what saved Noah. Stop and ask yourself the question. What saved Noah? Was it his obedience, or was it God's grace? Well, in reality, didn't matter how obedient Noah was. If God didn't show him grace, Noah wasn't going to be saved. But Noah better be obedient to God's plan. So it's really both. However, listen, grace is really what saved him. It wasn't his works that saved him. Didn't matter how much he built that boat. If God didn't come through with his end of the bargain, Noah was going to go down with the rest of the world. No, God's grace is truly what saved him. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then James says that that faith without works is dead. So how do we tie these two things together? Well, here it is. God shows us grace, but he expects us to obey him. And so Noah had to build that ark. And not only did he have to build it, he had to do it exactly the way that God told him to build it. Now I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. We've referred a lot to Hebrews chapter 11, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, there's that word again. By faith, Noah, remember, faith is taking God at his word, putting your trust in him, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Hey, it's okay to be moved with fear. Some people say, well, we shouldn't respond in fear. It's okay to be moved with fear. Noah was prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. So Noah condemned the world. He obtained witness that he was righteous. So there's that again. Just like with Abel, he obtained witness that he was righteous by the kind of gift he offered. Well, Noah obtained witness that he was righteous. How is that? By faith, by simply obeying the word of the Lord. Okay, so I want you to notice that. But there's also something else we're going to notice here in just a minute. So let's go back here, and then in a minute we're going to read from the book of 1 Peter. So let's keep reading here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Watch this. Now, if you were to ask almost anybody that claimed to know anything about the Bible, you know, unless they're a scholar or something, you might ask them and say, hey, how many types of each kind of animal went into the ark? And they'd say, well, two of every kind. Did you know that's wrong? I want you to read this with me. Grab your Bible. Read Genesis 7, verse number 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. So there's still a male and a female, but they're taking seven of every clean, seven groups, in other words, seven of every clean. It says the male and his female, and a beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. God needed them to have more for clean because they could only eat the clean and they could only sacrifice the clean. So there had to be more of the clean. Verse 3, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Verse 5, here it is again. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So notice, there was only one plan of escape. God was about to flood the earth, and the ark was the only place that they could get salvation. Verse number 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, they went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now, picture this in your mind. All those same people that have been making fun of Noah before, all of a sudden, they're standing out there laughing at Noah. Look at that old crazy preacher. What is he doing? And I'm sure he's preaching with an intensity that time. Hey, listen, God's about to send the flood. He's warned me. I've heard from God. You better get on the ark. Get on the ark, people. And they're standing back and they're laughing. But I wonder if somebody was standing by, they said, you know, that preacher's a little intense today. He's preaching with a little bit more intensity than normal, but you know, maybe we ought to listen to him. And his wife said, oh, no, come on. We don't need to listen to him. Maybe one of his kids said, oh, come on, Dad. He's just a crazy preacher. Remember, that's what you told us. The Bible says they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. I wonder if some of them were standing there drinking wine and they were about half drunk and they were laughing. Ha ha, look at that crazy preacher. And all of a sudden, Noah turns around and he goes and he walks into the ark. And watch this, verse 16. And they went in, and in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. Now, I wonder what that was like. The people are standing there, and all of a sudden they said, what's he doing? Wait. He's not going back to his house. Noah, what you doing? All of a sudden, Noah and the Bible says 8 souls altogether. And we'll read that here in a second. They went into the ark. And so Noah walks into the ark, and all of a sudden they hear, boom! The door shuts. They say, hey, did you see who shut that door? Who shut that door? Oh, he must have some kind of a handle to pull the door shut inside. I didn't see anybody shut it. What happened? Maybe the wind blew it shut. And all of a sudden, that first drop of rain fell. And here comes another one. What was that? What was that? Man turns to his wife. What was that? What did you feel that? Did you feel that? All of a sudden, the kids are saying, Daddy, what's that? What's going on? I don't know. And all of a sudden, rain starts to fall, and it's falling fast. They say, run for cover. We don't know what's happening. Run for cover. And all of a sudden, they say, you know what? That crazy preacher was right. And it hits them. Oh, my goodness. He really did hear from God. And they go back, and I'm sure at that point, they started beating on the ark door. Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. Let us in. Noah, it's raining out here. It's up to our knees. Noah, let us in. Noah, it's up to our chest. Let us in. But Noah couldn't let them in. You see, he didn't have power anymore. His job was to preach. But when they got on the ark, God shut the door. Can I tell you, there's a coming judgment that's coming upon this world. There's coming a day that God is going to shut the door. You see, Jesus is the door. But there's coming a day that he's going to rapture his church out of here. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to wake up and realize, oh my goodness, that preacher was right. Oh my goodness, that church was right. Oh my goodness, that Bible that I thought was crazy, it was right. But it's going to be too late because God's already come back and they're not going to be able to find safety in the ark. I want to tell somebody here today, climb on board the ark today. Jesus is the ark. Jesus is the door. You need to find safety. Go in and find safety in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's keep reading. Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 18, or 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. You think his kids were happy they listened to daddy? Even though their friends were making fun of them, hey, look, it made it worth all of those months or maybe even years that they were ostracized and laughed at and made fun, and the embarrassment they faced made it worth all that, didn't it? Verse 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, keep in mind, there is this picture of Noah and his family are safe inside the ark. Remember, the ark represents Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's our safety. All right? But that's not all that it represents, okay? Because the ark, our safety, Jesus, we're on the face of the waters, all right? And it says, the Bible says that it just floated on the waters, but all that were bound by sin were drowned underneath those waters. Now, go to the book of 1 Peter. Let's go over to the book of 1 Peter. And I want to read chapter number 3, verses 20 and 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Pause the recording. Feel free to pause it while we take some time here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. That tells us God was patient while Noah was preaching and building. God stood back and he withheld his wrath as day after day they blasphemed his name. And day after day they shook their fist at God. And day after day they were committing fornication and sinning against God and drinking and partying and doing whatever they wanted to do and taking wives of all which they chose. They just kept on sinning, but God in his wrath was ready to destroy them, but he withheld his wrath until that ark was ready. All right? God's withholding his wrath from the earth because there's going to come a day that God's going to destroy the world by fire. The next time God's going to destroy the world by fire, all right, this is what it says. Verse 20, it says, wherein is few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Verse 21, the like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, preacher? What does that mean? Look at verse 21. The like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. Now let me paint this picture. So Noah and his family were inside Jesus, inside the ark. They had gone through the door, which is Jesus. They were on the ark of safety, which is Jesus, floating on the waters. Sin is drowning under the waters. Now I want you to back up with me, and I want you to go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 2. And I want to read verse number 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is Peter preaching after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. One translation literally says, be baptized so that you can obtain forgiveness of sins. That word remission means forgiveness. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Go through the door. Be baptized. Okay, so how is this a type of baptism? The ark, because when you go under those waters in Jesus' name, every sin you've ever committed is remitted. It's under the water, and when you come out of the water, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 6 and verse number 3 and 4 says, know ye not that as many as of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried by him with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, that's Galatians 3:27, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Take time to read it for yourself. I'm reading from Acts 2:38. Also, let's go to Acts chapter number 22 and verse 16. Here Paul the apostle is telling his testimony. I want to read Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. This is what Ananias told Paul when he was saved. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What this is speaking of is the invocation of the name of Jesus at the waters of baptism. Why? Because you're going under, you're burying your old man, and you're coming out a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're walking through the door, you're getting on the ark of safety, and all of those sins drown under that water. It's very, very beautiful. All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter number 8. We'll talk more about that later. All right. Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the seventh day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountain seen. Now, I'm going to skip over some things here. So make a long story short. The Bible says that Noah sends out a raven. It goes to and fro, but it couldn't find a place to land. So the Bible says he sent forth a dove. And the Bible says that the dove couldn't find any rest, so he took him into the ark, and then he stayed another 7 days, and then he sent the dove out again, and the dove brought back an olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. That's verse number 11. And then finally, he stayed another 7 days. Then he sent forth a dove, which returned not again with him anymore. That's verse number 12. So then they come off the ark. In verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Now I want you to picture, you know, what that ark must have smelled like. I mean, they had all of these animals. You got to think all of the dung, all of the filth, all of the animal food, all of the animal odor. Noah and his family couldn't bathe the whole time they're in there. So I'm sure there was all kinds of stink in that ark. But it was a whole lot better to be in the stink of the ark than it was to be in the storm outside. So there's a lot of people that say, you know, I don't like the church. The church has problems. Yeah, but it's a whole lot better to be in a problem-riddled church than it is to be in a world that's going to be drowning in wickedness and that is going to one day face the judgments of God. All right, verse number 18, and Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatso creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth of the ark. All right, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast. Remember, he had to take more clean than unclean. Of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Let's go to Genesis 9 and verse number 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you. Remember covenant, agreement between two parties? All right, it says, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. Verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token, or the sign, in other words. This is verse 12 of Genesis 9. The sign or the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Watch this. Now I'm going to slow down. Verse 13. I do set my bow, now that means rainbow, in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and thee and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. So notice that. He said, the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So we have the promise, folks. We have the promise that every time you see that rainbow in a cloud, it's a promise that God's not going to flood the entire earth to destroy all flesh. Now, there will be floods. There will be times that there are, you know, tsunamis and different things of that nature. But God's never again going to consume the entire earth by water. But the Bible does tell us that there is a coming judgment, that the Bible says it, that God is going to send fire the next time to devour the earth. But he'll never again flood the water, flood the earth like he did the first time. And so every time you see that rainbow in the sky, just know that's proof of the covenant that God made with Noah. It's very beautiful. So just know this, that you can be saved from a coming judgment. There is a judgment coming to this world. There is a judgment that is coming, but you can be saved from the coming judgment. Now, I want to just remind you, what were some of the signs in the days of Noah? It was partying, okay? drinking, eating and drinking, partying, in other words. Could be talking about drinking wine, but could just be talking about they're just feasting continually. They're partying. Okay, there's marrying and giving of marriage. They're just taking wives of all which they chose. They're not worrying about, you know, mistreating anybody. They're just constantly taking as many wives as they want to. What are we seeing today? We're seeing divorce and remarriage running rampant. In fact, what we're seeing is people that are not even getting married anymore, but they're, you know, they're just fornicating and they're living together. They won't even commit to one another because they don't want to be bound by a covenant. So marrying and giving in marriage, are they still partying today? There's parties going on. This evening, there'll be parties going on all over our city. There's going to be parties constantly going on. All right. The Bible says they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. Well, that's still going on today. Just business as usual. They're ignorant of the coming judgment. In Noah's day, they were ignorant of the coming judgment. They weren't listening to the preacher of righteousness. Today, they're ignoring preachers of righteousness. They're making fun of them and they're mocking them. And you can hear it on the radio. They're mocking preachers and they're making fun of them. We've got politicians that are mocking preachers and making fun of them, saying, oh, those antiquated ideas, we need to get beyond that. The Bible says there was extreme wickedness and then the flood came suddenly. Now, let's talk about what it's going to be like in the days of the Son of Man. Let's go to the book of Philippians. So in your New Testament, Philippians, and we're going to read chapter number 3, verses 17 and through 19. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Brethren, be followers together of me. This is Paul the Apostle writing, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, that now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Remember, they were eating and drinking. Okay, what about marrying and giving in marriage? What about some of these other things? Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and 39. Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and 39. So first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 24, and verses 38 and 39. What does it say? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, that's Noah, by the way, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, just like they were marrying and giving in marriage in that day, eating and drinking, they're going to be doing the same day. They're going to be doing the same thing when I return again. Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. This is what it says. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Remember, planning, building. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it raised fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. All right. Remember, they were ignorant of the coming judgment. Let's read Luke 21, chapter 21, verses 34 through 35. Luke 21, verses 34 through 35. And this is what it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Remember, Enoch escaped the coming judgment. Noah escaped the judgment. Why? Because they walked with God. You too can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the judgment will not fall upon you. You can be protected. You can be preserved. You can be kept. And you can be raptured out of this world. Remember, there was a day of extreme wickedness. What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, I'm reading all these rapidly, but you can pause the recording to find them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. So notice that without natural affection, what does that mean? Not normal affection. It can mean several different things. It can mean perversion, but it could also be speaking of women that kill their own babies, you see, because they ought to have a natural affection for their children. But nowadays, the abortion rates are higher than they've ever been because people want pleasure, but they don't want responsibility. And so they kill babies so they can have more pleasure. How selfish is that? Then it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So one of them says they wear a cloak of godliness, but they deny the power that can make them godly. All right, now remember, the flood came suddenly. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Give me a little bit of time to find it here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. This is what it says. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Knowing that. So the Bible says, we ought to know these things. We ought to observe what happened in Noah's day and realize that God is reserving fire to be poured out upon the earth in the last days. There's a judgment coming, brothers and sisters. There's a judgment coming to the person listening to this podcast. Please hear me today. There's a judgment coming on this world. Don't be ignorant like those people in Noah's day, but go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Get on board the ark. Bury the old man by baptism. Come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it'll be worth it when you get on board the ark and God starts pouring out judgment and you realize I escaped it because I was in Jesus Christ. It's going to be worth all the mocking, all of the ridicule. Hey, look, some friends may leave you. Some family members may make fun of you. They may say you've lost your mind. But hey, when that door shuts and the judgment gets poured out, you're going to be so happy that you didn't listen to all that ridicule and you went through the door, which is Jesus Christ, and got on board the ark, which is a type of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to be able to study the word of the Lord. God, I'm asking that you would speak to every heart and soul under the sound of my voice. Let a spirit of conviction come upon them while they listen to this, Jesus. If they are not right with you, help them, Lord, to be baptized in your precious name, to repent of their sins, to be baptized in your name, to receive your spirit. God, I pray in Jesus' name, we want to seek safety in you because there is a coming judgment upon our world. God, help us to listen to your voice of warning. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to mock and make fun of the preacher, but God, to listen as he preaches the word of the Lord to our hearts and souls and to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. And the next lesson, we're going to get into the Tower of Babel. May God bless you. We hope you have enjoyed this Bible 101 episode. Please leave a comment to let us know what you think. Also email BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That is BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com to leave us comments, questions, or maybe ideas for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening.